Well, let's take our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse 15. The Bible says, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room to where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" And then we'll skip forward to verse 31. "But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The Lord Jesus is here admonishing us to beware of covetousness. And he is encouraging us to trust the Lord, to trust the Lord to provide for us, and to really be rich toward God, as verse 21 says. To not be selfish, but rather to do the will of God. And to seek God's kingdom first and foremost. That our treasure would be in heaven rather than on this earth. And so as we're considering in the second part here of faithfulness in finances, as we've been talking about being faithful in big and little things, finances is an area of which the Bible has a lot to say about. Many scriptures teach us not only about giving, but really management of what God has given to us. And so as we continue in this second part, I want to just review a little bit of what we learned in the first part. First of all, we were reminded that we need to get the ownership factor straight. The ownership factor. Sometimes we think it's our life, we've worked for it, and we can do what we want with it. But the fact of the matter is, everything is God's. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's why it's critical that we acknowledge God in this area of our life. In our possessions, which are a major portion of our daily living, our daily interaction is relating to money and possessions. And so God reminds us whose it is. And that's an important thing because we need to listen to God's instructions on how to manage what he's given us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, "It is required in stewards or managers that a man be found faithful." We need to be faithful because it is God's. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we are doubly God's. We are not our own, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, but we are bought with a price. We need to glorify God with everything that we have. And so, we need to get the ownership factor straight. Last week, we also recognized that we need to guard our heart and serve the right master. Finances, money, has the potential to be in direct competition to the Lord. Money has a way of becoming our master, that we would serve it and follow it instead of serving and following and trusting the Lord. Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. And he contrasted money with the Lord. And so we need to love the Lord with our whole heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. And so God warns us to guard our heart. We need to love God, not earthly possessions. And so if we're going to be faithful in finances, we need to recognize God is the owner, and I am responsible to manage what he's entrusted to my care. We need to guard our heart that we would serve the right master. And number three, we need to commit to honest dealings. In everything that we do, whether at work, business, in every area of our life, we need to commit to being honest. God says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So if we're going to be faithful in big things, we need to start with faithfulness in little things. And so we need to commit to honest dealings. Fourthly, we saw last week that we need to seek godly counsel. First and foremost, we need to seek the counsel of the Word of God, just like we're doing right now. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Hear counsel and receive instruction. Verse 21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We would do well to follow biblical counsel. It's not about just getting counsel from any financial guru. The truth is that some of the counsel of the world will lead you contrary to biblical principles. God tells us in Psalm 1 that the blessed man is one that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but rather he meditates in the Word of God, and that's why he is blessed. Okay? So it's important for us to seek godly counsel from the Word of God, from God-fearing people. And that is critical as we seek to be faithful stewards of what God's given us. Then we want to, number five, we want to recognize money's purpose. Now, does anybody remember the purpose for money? There were two aspects. Money's purpose is to live and to give. The purpose of money is to live and to give. Through hard work, most of the time, God provides money, which then in turn we can purchase food, we can put a roof over our heads, clothes on our back. And so God provides through hard work. The Bible instructs us to work hard. to be industrious. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 18, it says, the laborer is worthy of his reward. The laborer is worthy of his reward. The Bible also says that if a man is lazy, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Also, the Bible instructs those who had a problem with stealing. It says that in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so the purpose of money is to live and to give. I want you to notice the purpose of money has never been to give us peace. I know when you have the money in the bank to pay the bill, it you know, you can rest a little easier. But the fact of the matter is, our trust is to be in God. And God instructs us to not put our trust in money. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us, I'll flip over there, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, charge them that are rich, or admonish them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor, read it with me, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Our trust, our confidence, our security is never to be in financial accounts or possessions, but rather it is to be anchored in the Lord, the Lord Himself. And so He instructs us to not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So to live and to give. We notice here in verse 17, God says that we can enjoy what He's given us. Part of enjoying what God's given is using it appropriately and with a thankful heart. It's okay to enjoy some blessings of God and to sit back and relax and praise the Lord for how He's taken care of you, what He's provided for you. It is a good thing to praise the Lord. It is a good thing to have a thankful heart. And so God encourages us in that. So the twofold purpose of money is to live and to give. When we think about living, an important thing, if we're going to be good stewards of what God's given us, is to manage it well. Now, if we have resources, but we aren't quite sure where we're going to put it or where it went, we're not managing it well. We really aren't. It's just kind of a chaotic, see how it ends up after it's all said and done. And it's important for us to have a spending plan. And so when we think about being a good steward, we need to develop a spending plan or a budget for the purpose of telling our money where to go, rather than scratching our head and wondering where it went. And so the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. We ought to seek God and say, Lord, where do you want my money to go? What is your will? If the Lord will, we're going to live and do this or that. God was instructing them to seek His will as they made plans. And so in a spending plan, we need to seek God's will. Proverbs 21 and verse 20 says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. A foolish man spendeth it up. The purpose of having a spending plan is to be able to tell our money where to go. That we would consider our needs, consider our expenses, consider the resources God has given, and direct them according to a right priority. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30 tells us, "Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." So as we think about goals that we believe God would have us pursue, it is important to have a plan laid out. And of course, that can be adjusted as life goes on, as one week goes into the next. But nevertheless, we need to consider a plan, because we need to be faithful, not just wondering where it went, but really planning where our finances should be going. As we try to get on a spending plan, I've identified four steps for getting on a spending plan. First of all, we need to start with where we are today. Start with where you are today. Identifying your monthly expenses. Really seeing where is the money going? Where has it been going? And we can even, for a month's time, track our spending. Keep a record. You can keep some simple categories of you know, auto expenses, housing expenses, food, and just keep it simple. But in a simple notebook, you can track your spending and start to get a better picture of really where your money is going and be able to evaluate that a little bit. So start with where you are today, identifying your monthly income and expenses. Step two would then be to consider, where does God want me to be? What are His priorities? What am I missing? What am I doing well? Considering long-term goals and short-term goals. Goals for this week, goals for this month, goals for this year, or many years down the road. What do we believe would be God's priorities for our lives? And so, that is step two, considering where God wants us to be. Step three in getting on a spending plan is taking action to make adjustments. We can't necessarily get to where we believe we ought to be overnight. It's going to take time, but as we make adjustments, if we look at our expenses or what we've been spending our money on and find that, you know, boy, in a given month, we've been spending $400 on coffee, you know, and it's like, whoa, I mean, you know, we could trim there. There are habits we need to break. Not saying you have to put away coffee altogether or something like that, but we can cut, we can trim, we can make adjustments in our spending habits, and we can introduce new habits, habits perhaps that are clearly what should be a priority, like giving to the Lord, that is something that should be on the top of our spending plan. And so identify areas where you need adjustment and make those adjustments, even if they're incremental adjustments. And then step four, once we've tracked our spending and once we have considered really what are God's priorities for my finances, once we are taking action to make some adjustments so that we can get on track to where we should be going, then step four, don't quit. Don't quit. Living on a spending plan is not just for 1 month's time. It's for life, really, that we would continue to be a steady plotter, living to do the will of God. And obviously our spending plan is going to require adjustments as we go along. 1 month is going to be different from the next, and 1 year different from the next. And there will be times where adjustments are definitely needed. But We need to stay on track. Don't quit. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." A steady plodder is something that God blesses. And let's be that steady plodder. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Seek to get on track. So, a spending plan. That's the one aspect of living, is telling your money where to go, managing it wisely. And the second aspect of what the purpose of money is, not only to live, but to give. We need to recognize the blessing of giving, the blessing of generosity. Acts 20, verse 35, records the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It is more of a blessing to give than it is to receive. There is a special blessing connected with giving. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The end of the verse tells us that God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And we need to learn the joy of giving. Giving should not be a drudgery. But it is an important aspect in our finances that keeps our trust in God. That we are caring about others. We are putting God first. And so when we think about giving, God really wants us to give not the leftovers, but the first fruits. Proverbs 3 tells us, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." The first fruits. And so in a spending plan like we talked, really tithing, giving to the Lord should be on the top of the list, even before the house payment, even before the gas for the car or food for the family. Giving to the Lord should be on the top of our spending plan. Notice Malachi chapter 3. Malachi and chapter 3, it's right before the book of Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, please notice verse 7. The Bible says regarding the tithe, and the biblical principle of the tithe, tithe literally means a tenth or 10%. And so the tenth is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. And it is a very practical place of determining what's appropriate for giving, at least a starting place. Definitely the tithe is not a stopping place in giving, but it is a starting place. And as we give the first fruits to the Lord, the aspect of the tithe, whether it's the teenage boy who cuts lawns and makes $40 and he can get in on giving and honoring the Lord with his substance. And he can give that $4 as a starting place in giving, as a principle, as a pattern. And or the manager of a big company who makes a large salary. God makes it very simple for everyone to understand an important principle in giving. Giving not only the first fruits, but giving the tithe to the Lord. Notice Malachi 3, now verse 7. "For even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" And God says, asks the question, will a man rob God? "Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God has a special blessing for those who put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says he'll take care of us as we honor him, as we put him first. The tithe is the Lord's, and we need to recognize the joy it is in giving to the Lord, in giving to meet the needs of others as well. A generous heart is a heart that pleases God. So as we think about being a faithful steward, a faithful manager in what God's given us, the purpose of money, to live and to give. Let's honor the Lord in our finances. Then another aspect I'd like to talk about as we draw this to a close here, but let's talk about debt for just a few minutes. Debt can be a big problem. And the Bible actually has a lot of wisdom regarding debt, such as Proverbs 22, verse 7. The Bible says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The borrower is servant to the lender. It is so easy to borrow money. It's so easy to spend what we do not have. And when we spend what we do not have, it often brings us into bondage. God doesn't want us to be in bondage. And so here's how I put this point out here. Debt. Be careful, be wise, be free. Debt. Be careful. We shouldn't rush into debt without seeking the Lord, without seeking counsel. Be careful. Be cautious, be wise, be free. Our world today is so intoxicated with getting more. Instant gratification, you know. We can just get it right now and pay for it tomorrow or next year or in the next 10 years, you know. And we're trying to get, and it's covetousness. Instead of trusting God, instead of relying on the Lord and being thankful with what we have today, it's sometimes instant gratification that actually brings us into bondage. We need to, first of all, trust the Lord to provide for our needs. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation means the way you live your life, let the way you live your life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God is the one who should be our joy. God is the one who should be our security, our contentment, our trust. And we need to trust him to take care of us. It's not always wrong to borrow money. There are definitely different, there's good debt and there's bad debt. And with all debt, we need to be careful. We need to be wise so that we can be free. Debt can help us buy things sometimes that we really cannot afford and ultimately leave us in bondage. Debt can actually hinder us from being able to do the will of God because we are bound, unable to respond to other needs, other things that God would really have had us do in his will. So we need to learn to wait on the Lord. We need to learn to pray about large purchases. We also need to learn to save up for large purchases. Sometimes if there's something we feel we should get that would be good, as we begin to save for it, it gives us time to not only meditate on the fact, is this really what God wants, but also to see God provide so that we can purchase that if it is indeed his will. And so debt is something that can really bring bondage to many people's lives. And so we need to be careful about it and apply God's wisdom. I believe there's a number of other things that I want to talk about, and we'll need to to talk some more about that next week, Lord willing, in part three. Let's recognize everything we have is God's, and we are accountable to Him. We need to be faithful managers of what He's given. We need to have a spending plan so that we can tell our money, tell God's money, where to go. We need to manage it according to biblical principles, according to godly priorities. We need to recognize our trust needs to be in God, not in a bank account. Our security needs to be in God, not in the resources He's provided. And so with that, we'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word and how practical it is, even in a bit of an unusual message like this, but yet so practical for daily life. Lord, we do want to be faithful in big and little things. And in everyday life, help us to apply the timeless truth of Your holy word even to this area of our finances and possessions. Help us to honor You, to put You first, to seek first the kingdom of God, and to store up treasure in heaven where moth or rust does not corrupt. Lord, thank You for Your provisions for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.